The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an exciting message from our guest.
All right, so that was awesome this morning. First of all, I'd like to say that praise and worship, it really touched my heart. I didn't want to stop there. It was awesome. But this is my second sermon that I'm going to be giving, and the second one to the congregation. As Ivy was saying, I gave one in children's church around the age of 10, but I'm just going to let you know right now, if any of you guys ever give a first or a second sermon, the nerves don't really change from the first to the second, so those are still pretty similar. But so I kind of wanted to do a little icebreaker for myself before I really get into the message and kind of try to control my nerves a little bit and maybe give those who don't know me a chance to know me a little bit better. So for those of you who don't, my name is Garrett Barringer. I'm 19 years old, and I've been going to Bethel since I was born, since I was a baby in my mom's belly. So I was born in this church, and I love sports. I love nature and enjoying God's creation, and most importantly, I love Jesus and my relationship with him. So, and when I leave here today, when the message is all said and done, another thing I know, we're all aware that, yes, I am tall. I am 6'4", and no, I have not gotten taller lately. It is just you guys. I haven't grown since I was a freshman in high school, so... So for all those who are going to ask me, I was just letting you know. But before I get into the main part of the message, I kind of wanted to give an overview of what I'm going to be talking about today. And so today, the name of my message is Projecting Your Voice So Others May Be Projected. And it's really just a fancy way of talking about the words you speak and how you can use those to encourage and uplift other people. Roughly 1.5 years ago, when I gave my first message, I talked about being a Christ-like character and how your actions can affect other people. Well, now, 1.5 years later, I'm giving the polar opposite and talking about the words you say and how they can uplift and encourage or even hurt other people. So the verse that my message is based off of today is Proverbs 18:21, and I'm sure a lot of you are probably pretty familiar with this verse. The tongue can bring life or death. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. So, all right, so that's kind of the message that's the verse that my message is based off of today. And this message, it's not a salvation message. It's not a historical message that talks about creation or, you know, really anything historical with historical context or anything like that. But what I'm going to be focusing on is something that's actually kind of generic, and it's the words you speak, something that we often don't think about, especially me. But it's crazy how the Holy Spirit works, because even the most generic or plain or simple things, he can turn it and use it as something so amazing and powerful. So that brings me to my first point, which is words are power. So what is a word? According to the dictionary, a word is a distinct, meaningful element of speech or writing used with others to form a sentence. So research shows that around 7 to 10,000 words, roughly, are spoken a day. 7 to 10,000. And for a quick second, I want you guys just to think about the words that you spoke this morning. From the first time you woke up, what did you speak? Do you remember some of them? I know you're not going to remember every single word you use, but just think about that for a quick second. How did you use those words? Was it in a positive manner? What about a negative manner? The words we speak are powerful. They have lasting effects on people. So, in the beginning of creation, after God had created the heavens and the earth, so that was the first thing he created, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, okay? We all know that. But then he spoke and said, "Let there be light." These were the first words that were ever spoken in the Bible. It was not the first verse or the first thing he created, but God spoke and it came to be. So God created this world, everything we see today, every part of creation. He spoke this world into existence with spoken word. Not a thought, but spoken word. Then the last thing God created before he rested were humans. So he spoke us into existence. But I know, God is all powerful, he's all knowing, and he's all present. So of course he can speak things and they can happen, they can come to be. Whatever he wants will happen. So how does this correlate to us speaking with words and how powerful they are? Well, here's the cool part. If you think about it, God created all these things that we see, constellations, the animals that scurry along the ground, birds, light, all this stuff. But on the sixth day of creation, he spoke life into us. And when he spoke, he said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us." And for those of you who don't know, if you read that verse, you'll see "in our" and "us." If any of you were roaming the halls or anything during VBS, we talked about Christophany or how Christ was in the Old Testament. When it says "us" and "our," it's just referring to the Holy Trinity because they were there from the beginning. Jesus was with us from the beginning, but that's beside the point, so we'll get back to it. So God made us in his image, and through him, we have the ability to speak to things. So if you haven't noticed, which I'm sure you all have, that's a rhetorical statement there, light can't speak to you. The ground can't speak to you. The sky can't speak to you. Animals communicate, but they cannot speak spoken word. And for the animals like parrots and stuff like that, that can copy you, they're not speaking spoken word. It's mimicking. Okay, so we are the only thing on creation besides the one who created us that can speak with spoken word. We are special that way. God made us in his image, that image. So we have the ability to speak life the same way God spoke life into us and all the things that he created. So to sum up how powerful words are, I have a little story to tell you that I read about recently that I found pretty interesting. And before I get into that story, I just wanted to let you guys know that the verse Proverbs 18:21, I talked about life and death. I'm going to be focusing more on life today, but I am going to be cautioning some things on death too, or negative manner in which you speak things. So, anyhow, here's the story. So two boys were walking home from school back in the 1960s, and as they were walking through the woods, they both fell into this massive pit. It was so deep that the fall had hurt and stunned them a little bit. They stayed in the pit for a couple of hours, and then finally, when some people saw them as they were walking by, they were a long ways from civilization with no means on helping them get out. So these people told them, "You are as good as dead. There's no way you can make it out of this pit without the proper tools." The two boys ignored their comments naturally because they were scared. They wanted to get out of this pit. They wanted to get home. So they started jumping. They were desperate. They wanted to get out so bad. They were jumping and giving all of their effort into it. But the other people kept yelling at them. They told them, "Quit jumping. It is no use. You are dead already." They kept going for a couple of hours. Finally, one of the boys, exhausted, gave up and listened to what they were saying, and he laid down and died. The other boy, however, continued to jump as hard as he could. He was determined that he was going to make it out of this pit. But once again, the crowd started to yell, telling him it was pointless. Death was the only option here. The boy ignored them, and without thinking about it, he started jumping harder and harder. And finally, he jumped and scraped and clawed out of this impossibly deep pit. When he finally made it out, the others were shocked. Their pride was kind of hurt a little bit. They were certain that this person wasn't getting out of there. They thought that there was no chance he could do it, so one of them said to him, "I cannot believe it. Did you not hear us? We thought you would lay and die like the other boy. The boy paused for a long time, and then with a confused look on his face, he explained to them that he was deaf, that the yelling and jumping and moving up around there, around the pit, had made him think that they were encouraging him. There are two lessons we can learn from this story right here. Number one is that encouragement is important for the members of the body of Christ. It can renew us and even keep us on God's path, the plan that he has for our life. And number two, speaking death can have a horrible effect on someone. The words weighed on that boy and made him discouraged. Every word they spoke to him made him believe less and less that he could make the jump. Then eventually, as the last couple words pierced his soul, he laid down and died, thinking that there was no hope for him. Words are power. Don't cause someone to lay down and die spiritually. Lift them up and encourage them. So that brings me to my second point now, which is taking care of the seed. So if you have ever worked in kids' ministry or been around in kids' ministry or been around Miss Dot, you'll often hear her talk about planting this seed in the kids and how valuable it is, how important this seed is, which is an awesome thing. I think we can all agree in here that planting a seed in young kids' lives to have a purpose and a plan and a love for Christ, it's amazing. It's awesome to see little kids have that love in their hearts for him. But people who are called to kids' ministry, especially here at Bethel, are also pretty amazing. They work hard. They spend time in their classrooms at home. They put a lot of effort and even some money sometimes in teaching these kids about Jesus. But even if you're not working in the kids' ministry here at Bethel, as a member of the body of Christ, we still have an important job to play in these kids and other people's lives. Not just a job that involves the kids, as I said, but a job that involves everybody. So let me ask you guys this, which again, it's a rhetorical question. You don't have to answer. But so what would happen if you planted a coconut tree in your backyard today? That's weird. Coconut tree in your backyard, like southeastern Ohio? Yeah. Is it going to last? Will it grow up and produce these fruits for you? What about a redwood tree? If any of you guys have ever visited the redwood forest, it's really beautiful and the trees are huge. They make people like me look very, very tiny. But if you planted this tree in your backyard today, do you think that it's going to grow and get strong and tall, gorgeous, everything that you wanted this tree to be? I mean, you planted it. You planted it with a purpose. If you plant a redwood tree in your backyard, you probably want that thing to get huge, and you want it to look cool, too. You could brag to your neighbor, look at this tree. You don't have a tree like that. Well, what would happen if you planted a tomato plant in the middle of the Sahara Desert? Will it produce these beautiful, perfect tomatoes for you? Well, we all know that this would never happen. It's impossible. Sometimes you cannot even get the harvest you wanted in your backyard with fruits that belong there, and you put all the effort into it. So sometimes that doesn't even go as planned. But we planted the seed, right? We took that first step. Now we should just wait it out. Let's see what happens. I mean, we planted it after all, you know. It's a seed. What's it supposed to do? It's supposed to grow. It'll grow into a beautiful plant. Well, planting a seed is super important. And after all, if you prepared a beautiful garden, took care of it for a while, and then a couple of weeks you realize that you forgot to plant the seeds, all that hard work is wasted. So planting the seed is the first step. You can't have a harvest without the seed. But after that seed is planted, you cannot neglect it. It needs to be taken care of. Everyone here in the congregation meets people in your day-to-day life, whether you know it or not, has A, had a seed planted in them, or B, needs that seed planted in them and taken care of, or that spiritual need met. As the body of Christ, everyone in here is responsible for helping to water these seeds, to take care of them, to make sure they are in the right environment to succeed. One way that we as the body can make sure the seed planted in these people grows is by speaking life to them. The same way that God spoke life into us, we have that ability to speak into these people and help them prosper, to make that seed grow. I know that Pastor Rob talked earlier on in the summer briefly about the power of your words, and he talked about the rice experiment for those of you who looked it up and got to see what that was about. But another cool experience that my mom had once told me that she learned from a women's conference that she went to was about Dr. Caroline Leaf, and she was there giving a teaching on the impact of the words you speak. She talked about this experiment where two seeds of the same plant planted in two different containers, but they were given all of the same variables, the same amount of sunlight, the same amount of water, the same amount of soil, nutrition. They were given all the same variables. The only two differences in these two different plants were the words spoken to them. So in one container, in one plant, they spoke to it and they said all these nasty, horrible things. I hate you. You're ugly. You're not going to grow up and do anything. And then to the other plant, they spoke, I love you. You're beautiful. You look amazing today. In the end, the only thing that differed were the words spoken to them, and the plant with the horrible, nasty things withered up and died. The plant that all the good things were spoken to flourished, thrived, and prospered. It looked amazing, and it was 100% healthy, even better than they had expected. There are people out there with a seed planted in them. They want to flourish, and they want to thrive, to succeed, and they have a plan that was designed for them by God. So let's be cautious of the words we speak to others. Let's not allow our words to cause them to wither up and die spiritually. I am guilty of this also. I have no filter, and sometimes the words I say without repercussion, so I don't think about them. My family knows this very well. The first thing that shoots into my head, I just gun and I go for it. But that's never the right way to go about things. So today, let's start by speaking good things into these people's lives. No matter the circumstances, who knows? Maybe the words we speak can cause the seeds to grow, can put them in the environment that they needed, or maybe it can even cause them to become a brother or sister in Christ, which is the most important thing. That's what we're after, right? Ephesians 4:29 says, "Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Make sure that the words that leave your mouth are just, right, kind, and loving. On the day of judgment, these words that you speak today, tomorrow, and the days to come can be the difference between that seed growing or withering up and dying. The difference between, well done, my good and faithful son, or I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." I don't know about you guys, but I do not ever want to be the reason that someone has to hear those words. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. The words we speak have power. But before I finished this point, I wanted to share another short story I found pretty funny. So, a 75-year-old retiree who lived alone decided to pick up gardening as a hobby. Each year, he made it his responsibility to plant a tomato garden from scratch. This year, he wanted to plant the garden. However, it was challenging to work because of the hardness of the ground. His only son, who used to lend him a hand, had gone to prison the previous year. The old man decided to write a letter to him detailing his predicament. "Dear son, I'm feeling pretty sad because it looks like I won't be able to plant my tomato garden this year," the letter began. He continued, stating that he was just too old to put in the long hours required for digging up a plot for the garden when he knew his presence would have made it easier, as he would have been responsible for the digging. Some days passed, and the mailman delivered a letter written by his son from prison. To the old man, the content read, "Dear Papa, don't dig up that garden. That's where the bodies are buried. Love, your son." Very early the next morning, several detectives and the FBI agents turned up at the location and dug up the entire area in search of the bodies. Their search was so extensive that they apologized to the old man and took their leave. On the same day, the retiree received another mail from his son asking him to plant the tomatoes since the digging was now done. He wrote, "That's the best I could do under the circumstances given." We aren't always given great circumstances. Sometimes people make it hard to speak good things into their lives. But God created every single person with a purpose. Not just me, not just you guys, not even just the members of the body of Christ. God created every person on this planet with a purpose for their life. So speak godly things, wise things, encouraging things into people's lives no matter the circumstances. The words we speak can cause a seed to turn into a beautiful plant or wither up and die. The words we speak can be used to our advantage, which brings me to my next point, using your words to move mountains. "You don't have enough faith," Jesus told them. "I tell you the truth, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it would move. Nothing would be impossible." We all face these mountains in our walk with Christ. It's never going to be easy. It wasn't promised that it would be easy, but it will be worth it. Whether it's sickness in our family, anxiety, generational curses, whatever it may be, we have the power to speak life to it. Come against it in the name of Jesus. When I was younger, my mom would have me lift my foot up and stomp it against the ground and tell Satan that he has no power over me. At 19 years old, I still find myself doing it sometimes. I don't know what it is, but when I sit there and I lift up my foot and I speak that the devil has no power over me, there is something powerful about it. When we speak words, let them have intention and purpose. James 3, 1 through 12 talks about controlling the tongue. And if you guys would like, you could open there with me. I'm going to be using my phone because I forgot my Bible. All right. "Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by the means of a small bit in its mouth, and a small rudder make a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of our body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing coming out of the same mouth, surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. I believe that that is a very powerful message that talks about our tongue and the consequences of the way we use it. So let's not make these mistakes. Let's not praise God with our words and then go and speak bad about the people that God created. This is not right, and as James describes it, it is evil and full of deadly poison used this way. But if we could control our tongue, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. Now, nobody in here is perfect, and we are not always going to control our tongues 100%. James warns us that unlike many other things, our tongue cannot be tamed. However, today, I ask you that we be cautious of the things we speak. Think about them before they come out of your mouths. If we could control our tongues just a little bit more and speak more life into people and relationships and generational curses and illness, then imagine the mountains that we can move as the body of Christ. There is power in the words we speak. And if we can be cautious and use our words to speak life and not death, no attacks that the enemy has on you will hold. You'll still have attacks. You'll still go through that. But I'm telling you that no attacks will hold. They won't stand. So my next point that I wanted to talk about was creating a domino effect for God's kingdom. So I'm sure most of us in here know what a domino effect is. A chain reaction. One event that takes place, which in turn causes another one to happen. Like if you stacked a line of dominoes along the floor and you knocked one over, they would fall one by one by one by one. A chain reaction. So a goal of mine for the body of Christ is for us to also create a domino effect through the words that we speak into each other's lives. After working with Pastor Rob one day, the discussion of the devil going after families came up. I told Pastor Rob that I think more than anything, the devil wants to destroy families. That's the one thing I think he just hates more than anything, is strong families. He wants to destroy families so bad because he sees the lasting effects it has on the members of that family, the community, the body of Christ itself, and the world. Over the last several decades, families and church have declined very rapidly. According to a recent study I read, young adults ages 18 to 29 are far less likely to go to church than adults 65 and older, which most of us, I'm sure, have kind of made that hypothesis ourselves over time. But 22% of our young adults confess that there was no belief of Jesus or any sort of religion in their household. So that's almost one quarter of every young adult ages 18 to 29. Believe that their household had no Jesus, no religion, nothing in it, no belief. Now, that statistic for the adults age 65 and older, only 3% of adults age 65 and older grew up without knowing Jesus or having any type of religion in their household. That's a huge difference. As we become more caught up in worldly activities and self-interest, we will probably continue to see a decline of Jesus in families. My girlfriend Faith and I were in one of our connect groups about a month ago, and I told them how hard it is to be a Christian as a young adult in this world. Then the question came, well, how do you do it then? And at first, it's one of those questions that kind of catches you off guard. You know, you kind of stumble for a second. You know, I sit there, I'm thinking about it, like, it's almost like your whole life as a Christian flashes between your eyes. It's like, you know what? And you're just thinking about it because you weren't ready for the answer. So you're sitting there, and you think about the events that have been taking place in your life, and you think, was I just born a Christian? Is that why I made this decision to follow Jesus? Was I just born into a Christian family? Or is that all I know? Is that the reason I'm a Christian? Well, after a while, like after a couple of seconds, now this all happens really fast. It's flashing through your head and you're like, why am I a Christian? Why am I a Christian? Why am I a Christian? But then the answer is really clear. It's not because I was born into a Christian family. It's not because it's all I've ever known. I've seen the effects of non-Christian families. I've seen the effects of not having Jesus. What it was, the two things I can contribute to the reason that I am up here today as a Christian, and number one, I have an amazing family. I was grounded with values from birth, not just values that would falter with the wind, but values of love, integrity, and respect. A lot of people today don't have those values in their families. And it takes a lasting effect, not just on them, but generations to come. That creates a negative domino effect. And that's the reason why we see these numbers going up without having Jesus in their households through generation to generation. Another thing, the second reason that I am up here today being moved by the Holy Spirit to speak and give this message is because of the people who spoke into my life. Not words of hate, but words of wisdom and godliness. I'm sure most of you who have gone here for a while, or even those who haven't, have heard stories about me being ornery and running around and doing this and this and that. Although I don't believe they're true. Other people have a different idea, but they look past this ornery kid with all kinds of energy and hyperactivity, and they speak things like Susie used to me. She'd look at me, and she knew I was ornery. I probably caused all kinds of havoc in her classroom. She looked at me, and she said, "You are going to be a leader someday, Garrett." People looked at me, and they said, "You are special, Garrett. God has plans for your life." My mom told me several times of how the devil tried to take me out, but she said that God has special plans for my life. But not only in my relationship with Christ, but in basketball. "Garrett, you have so much talent. Just keep working. You got this." Or, "You're a leader on that court, Garrett. You can do this." Or in school, "Wow, you are so smart. Just keep studying and it will come to you." It's words like these that have a lasting impact on our kids and our families. The reason I am so sure of things and so grounded is because of everyone around me. It's not because of myself. I didn't learn all these things or just suddenly have this great urge to speak up here. I was nervous this morning. It was hard. But it's because of the people who took me aside and prayed for me this morning. And it just goes so far back of the people who speak into my life. If I was on my own or thrown around in a foster care system where my parents had been separated, I cannot say with confidence that I would find myself here today. And there's kids out there like that. Although I've not been a part of it, and it is hard to say from the outside looking in, I have seen secondhand from friends, classmates, and family members the effects that divorce, drugs, alcohol, affairs, or anything that can damage families have done to them personally. I have seen it firsthand. I understand why the devil goes so hard after families. It's because strong families do great things for the kingdom of God. Now I understand that things happen and that some things often cannot be helped. I understand that. But it is not too late for anyone in here to have a positive impact on their family or even someone else's family. That is our domino effect that I want to start. I want people to speak into their family and other families, and let's get strong families who love Jesus back in the body of Christ. Let's raise these numbers. The domino effect is all it takes is one strong family that passes the love of Jesus down to each of their kids, and then each of those kids pass that love of Jesus down to theirs. That is the domino effect I'm talking about. And it's not out of reach. Speak life to these families, speak life to these kids, and one by one we can build this kingdom of God up. But before my message is over today, I wanted to ask one more thing out of you guys. And that brings me to my last point, challenge yourself. So before I finish today, I have a challenge for you guys this week. Now, I don't often see challenges or anything like that, but I thought it was fitting. I know a lot of us in here are seasoned believers, but I believe even seasoned believers can do this and can make lasting effects. You don't have to be new. You don't even have to be a member of the body of Christ. This challenge is for anyone in here today. So, this brings me to challenge number one. As soon as you leave these doors today, if you find yourself in an argument, in a situation that is unstable, or any sort of bad situation, and I want you to watch the words that come out of your mouth. That's challenge number one. I want you to be cautious with what you say. Arguments happen. Misunderstandings happen. Wanting to be right all the time happens. Well, maybe that last one just applies to me. But that is human nature. These things are going to happen. But if, or should I say, when these things do happen, I do not want you to say one word that could hurt the other person or put them down. That is my first challenge for you today. Challenge number two. Challenge number two is to find a kid, no matter if he's an angel or a little one who gets on your last nerve like I must have been, apparently, I don't know, and never sits still, and I want you to build them up. I want you to tell this kid that he or she can be a leader. I want you to tell them how smart they are, how needed they are, how important they are to the body of Christ, how much Jesus loves them. I want you to find them and I want you to build them up. Anybody, it can be any kid that you see. I want you to build one kid this week up. It's simple. Find them and speak into their life and their future and believe it too. Challenge number three. I want you to find someone that is completely different than you, has completely different values, acts different, doesn't even like you in general. They don't have to like you. I want you to pray for them. And then I want you to give them a compliment. Now, I'd rather it not be a superficial compliment, not something about their looks. It can be. I'd rather it be something more about, I like your work ethic, or something like that. I would just like a non-superficial compliment to these people or this person, but I don't want you to say anything about Jesus to this person that's completely different than you. I want you to pray for them and compliment them, and then I want the Holy Spirit to do the rest for this person. I want you to let the Holy Spirit take over for this person right there. The last challenge before I finish this message up today is I want you to find a family that's close to you, that you love, that might be going through some rough times, or maybe they just don't even know Jesus. They're a good family, but they don't know Jesus. The domino effect will start with them. Pray for this family, invite them to church, and then I want you to speak amazing things into this family's life. So let me go back through those. Challenge number one is to find a kid who might be ornery or an angel, it doesn't matter, and speak good things into their life. Challenge number two is to find someone, another kid, and talk about how they could be a leader, how smart they are, how needed they are. Wait, let me make sure I got that right there. No, okay. Challenge one is I want you to find yourself in an argument. There we go. Find yourself in an argument Be the better person. There we go. Don't speak anything bad about those people. I don't want you to put them down. I want you to rise above it, but don't rise above it in the, oh, I'm such a better person than you manner. Not the manner that, oh, I'm rising above you, I'm better than you type of manner. The manner that you are above them because you have Christ on your side and you do not need to retaliate. Challenge number two, talk to the kid, talk into their life, tell them how much they are needed and loved. Challenge number three, find someone that's completely different than you, complete different values. They might not even like you. Pray for them, away from them. Give them a compliment that's not superficial. And then I want you to let the Holy Spirit take care of it. He's on your side. He will work with you. And then for the last one, I want you to find a family that you love and that's close to you that may or may not believe in Jesus. And I want you to speak into their life. Pray for them. And then let the Holy Spirit take care of that too, guys. The domino effect starts with the family. So those are my four challenges. I'm holding each of you accountable. You don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell me that you finished it, but I'm holding you guys accountable. I'm doing this challenge also. I'll be participating in it with you. I want to see some things changed. I want to see young adults back in the body of Christ. I want to see strong families who love Jesus, and I want to speak into kids' lives. So again, I just want to pray with you guys real quick before I finish up, and then, yeah, that'll be about it for me. So, dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for the people who have spoken into my life. And I just hope that I can create a domino effect through the people who spoke to me, Lord, and I can speak into other people's lives and just let them know how wanted and loved and important they are. I hope all of us as members of the body of Christ can let people know how loved and how important and how special they are and how you created them in your image, Lord. I just thank you for being given this platform, being able to talk and just give the word that's on my heart, Lord, that you've given to me. And I just thank you. Lord, I pray that we may partake in the challenge that I've given all of us, even me, Lord, and we can go out there and we can change lives outside of these doors of Bethel, in the community, in the state, Lord, wherever you take us, I pray that we can have lasting effects on the kingdom of God. But Lord, the words we speak are powerful. You're the one who first spoke, and you showed us how powerful those words are when you spoke into us, Lord. So just thank you for everything you do, and I just pray that as we go out these doors, we can speak words of positivity and just show people how amazing you truly are. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you, everybody.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tepper's Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.